Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast coming to you today from Melbourne, Australia. And here I'm meeting in Melbourne somebody that I have known for many years. She has been living in Australia and then she would come back to the United States. She's a Rhema graduate, Rhema Bible Training Center graduate. There, all of you listeners in Tulsa and around the country, you're going to recognize her when I tell you her name. And now, just about 1 week ago, you moved back to Australia.
Yes, I did.
Why did you?
I felt God was calling me back, that it was time for something special in the nation. And after this week of teaching with you, I found out the prophetic word of God leading up to the end times, that this is a divine appointment for me.
It's a divine appointment. You got here about 1 week ago, and your name is
Helen Ivasevich.
Helen Ivasevich, all you friends out there, you'll be glad to hear about her and catch up with her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want Helen. She's got so many things she could tell you about her life in serving God, about the people that she's met and led to the Lord. She's an evangelist.
Yes.
Soul winner. Helen, I want people who haven't met you, I want them to hear your story of how you came into light from darkness. What is your favorite Bible scripture?
Well, Billy, it's, if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost.
And that is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. And
correct.
The gospel is hid to many people sitting in darkness. You were in darkness.
Yes.
Tell us about the darkness you were in and how God got you out. And it's going to take more than today, folks. So we're going to have you listen in tomorrow.
Well, it's a story filled with miracles, but in order for you to understand what a great work God has done in my life, he found me in a mental institution in Belmont, California, in the locked ward, having shock treatments at night, on Thorazine, as a paranoid schizophrenic, unable to speak a single word coherently. Now, that journey for me started many years before that in the 60s. I'm a San Francisco hippie, flower child,
mm-hmm.
and in the 60s, when we were in the Vietnam War, and drugs were very prevalent in the Bay Area, I became addicted to amphetamine. Now, unfortunately, amphetamines is something that's current. For years, I'd give my testimony, and people would say, I don't even know what amphetamines are. I don't know what speed is, crack was in, and people were not doing this drug. But amphetamines is what most people today call ice. It is the most powerful addictive drug that you can ever use. And I used it until I was so addicted and so completely destroyed my mind that I would see demons, I would hear voices. I ended up at night terrorized by what I thought was a fear that the enemy was going to destroy my life. And he was doing a pretty good job at the
time.
How
did you get these amphetamines?
On the street, illegal drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was high school, it was concerts in San Francisco. Wherever there were illegal drugs, you'd find me.
Mm-hmm.
And I rode with the Hells Angels. In 1970, at New Year's Eve party, I was gang raped and rejected by society. I felt there was no purpose for me, no destiny for me, no reason that I had ever been born.
And so then you joined the Hells Angels. They took you in. How did that work?
Well, you can't join as a female, but you can ride with them.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened after I had been raped and beaten and left, for a girl who was 18 years old, who'd been raised in an old style, a woman's job is to get married and have children, all of a sudden, I didn't have a reason to have ever been born.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't matter to me what I did or where I went because I was purposeless. I had nothing that I could accomplish in my life. And then, of course, we know now, in retrospect, that God had great destiny for me, but I was blinded to it. I didn't know Jesus Christ as Lord. I didn't know the power of God. I'd never been around people in Pentecostal experience, and I felt as though at the age of 24 years old that I'd spent everything, and there was no hope for me.
So you literally rode a bike yourself, or did you ride with someone else?
Either. I had an old shovel head. For those who know Harley Davidsons, they'll know shovel heads.
Well, you know what you said to me one time, years ago?
Mm-hmm.
You said, Billy, we used to fire at little old ladies like you on the street.
Absolutely.
Fire your weapons at them.
Yes. Well, we used to do some things, and I don't even want to tell you what we did now because they're almost too much to talk about. But we used to just ride down the street and roll the windows down, and then the guns would come out the window, and we'd shoot at people, and we'd hit them and keep driving. You know, when you have no sense of value of your own personal life, you tend not to value the people that are around you. So the idea that you may have killed somebody doesn't mean a lot to you. I was with the Hell's Angels, which meant I actually thought when I died, it would be a better place to go to than what I was living in. Now, isn't that the most crazy deception of all?
You thought, really, you knew about hell.
Yes.
And you thought you would go there.
And I thought all my friends would be there. And I thought, well, you know, Hell's Angels, in essence.
Oh, like Heaven's Angels, we're Hell's Angels.
Hell's Angels. And when we go to hell, we'll see all of our friends and have a lot more fun or partying than we are actually on the earth. You have to know how blinded people are if they don't understand God. And even in this world today, because of new teachings, people do not understand what hell really is. They think it's a place as an option rather than going to heaven, or they don't think it exists at all. And I did not fear going to hell. I actually feared living on the earth more.
Tell me about that tattoo you had.
I had a property of Hell's Angels tattoo. It would have been over my left breast, and it was probably about 6 inches in height. And I, you know, of course, with a tattoo, you think you're marked for the rest of your natural life in your body. And one night after I became a Christian, I woke up in the morning and my tattoo was completely gone.
Now think of that, folks. She had a tattoo on her body which said, "Property of Hell's Angels." After she came to the Lord in a magnificently supernatural way, and she's going to tell the story the rest of this week, you woke up, you went to bed, you had a tattoo on you.
Yes.
That said "Property of Hell's Angels."
Yes.
And when you woke up in the morning, it was not there?
It was completely gone. Not even one little, you know, not even a little mark whatsoever, completely gone. And I asked God why. I said, "Why did you take that off?" Not that I was upset that he did it. I just wondered.
Yes, you know, yes.
"Why did you do that, God?" And he said, "The day that you were born again, I own you."
That's
you
are, truth.
You're my property.
And you know it's truth. We're not our own.
No, we're not.
We're bought with a price.
Absolutely.
And he was not going to have the markings and property of hell on you.
I think God wanted to do something in an external way that would let me know what he had done internally. Because the scars that I carried on my face, the scars that I carried in my heart, the things that had destroyed me or broken me, those things, they're not tangible things. Now, not that God has to do something tangible, but he wanted me to know that what he had done on the inside, he was doing on the outside.
He is a miracle working God.
Absolutely.
And you have seen him work miracles.
Oh, absolutely.
You told me your face was scarred.
Yes. I had keloid scars.
What is a keloid scar?
Keloid scars are people who do not heal normally. In other words, when you have a cut or an incision, rather than the two, your flesh mending correctly, it starts to build up a filler and it protrudes outside of the skin. Mm. So I had keloid scars that were a half an inch off my face, covering a lot of my face. I had infantigo for years. And the amphetamines I took kept me from healing. So the scar tissue would build up one on top of the other. And actually, Billy, I remember about 3 years of my life, I do not recall ever looking a human being in the face because I had paranoid schizophrenia. I was so ashamed and embarrassed about what I looked like that I kept my head down. And I didn't want people to see me because I thought it was just too terrible to look. And you're looking at me right now.
I'm looking at your beautiful face and your beautiful skin. And she was telling me this story today. And I said, "What scars?" She was explaining to me that she wouldn't look people in the eye because of the scars. And I said, "What scars?" I thought maybe Helen had had plastic surgery, you know. And so, and I thought she might tell me, "Well, you know, I had some plastic surgery so I could preach the gospel." And she told me something I was really surprised to hear. I went to bed one night, I had scars. I woke up the next morning.
They were gone.
And that's literally what happened?
I had so many nighttime experiences, and I really do mean this sincerely when I say I can hardly wait to go to sleep at night because I'm not sure in the morning what I'm going to find as God has done in my life is a miracle because he just did so many nighttime surgeries on me.
He's a supernatural God. A miracle means, Noah Webster says that a miracle is a supernatural divine intervention in the ordinary course of nature.
Yes.
The ordinary course of nature is those scars are there till you're dead.
Yes.
And God supernaturally in one night wiped them off your face and gave you that beautiful complexion that you have today, Helen. It's gorgeous.
I have many people who want to know what kind of skincare I use. And I say, well, I said, you know, my skin's only about 33 years old because it was brand new after my conversion.
Praise the Lord. God just moved so supernaturally in your life. Helen, you said that you were raised in a home. Now, was your home a Christian home?
I was raised as a Catholic. Uh-huh. But my parents felt obliged to take me to a Catholic service. After First Holy Communion, we no longer attended. So I'm grateful because the teaching I had as a child let me know that God's name had to have Jesus in there, mm-hmm. which was a real stabilizing factor for me because I had the opportunity to enter into a lot of false religions. But that seed, that as a child, that really God's name had to have Jesus
you
in
knew
there,
that Jesus
Christ.
Was God.
Absolutely.
And if it didn't confess Jesus,
oh, yes.
then it was not, you were not going to fall for it. In fact, you told me a story, and we're going to have you tell that story tomorrow about how that kept you from, which religion was that going into?
It was Timothy Leary.
Timothy Leary. Now, you know, I can remember when Timothy Leary was telling everybody to, what did he say? Turn on, anyway. You go on the dope, you go on and you do anything you want to. If it felt good, do
oh,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And just tune out. And he was, I think, a professor. And you actually knew him personally, or you sat under him personally. And there, the name of Jesus literally kept you from going any further into that.
I kept
that.
Looking for Jesus in all this, and I was smart enough to know that it wasn't right. I wasn't smart enough to know how deadly it could be, but I was smart enough to know it wasn't right because Jesus wasn't there.
What religion was that they were taking you into?
That was satanic worship.
Satanic worship?
Yes.
And so you were actually at a satanic worship service?
Yes.
I know you're listening, and you're going to have to tune in tomorrow to hear Helen's story. And we are going to offer this week Helen's testimony on CD. Is it one CD or two CDs?
One CD.
One CD. And so for $5, we're going to be sending you Helen Ivisovich's testimony. You're going to want this for your young people. You're going to want it for yourself. And that will be one CD. You can get that from us at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. You can just write us at Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or you can phone us at 417-336-4877. That's 417-336-4877. Helen, do you have a ministry name?
HIM, which is Helen Ivisovich Ministries.
Helen Ivisovich Ministries. And do you have an office in America?
Yes, P.O. Box 2100, Sunnyvale, Sunnyvale, California. And that's 94087-0100.
All right, HIM. Post Office Box 2100, Sunnyvale, California, 94087-0100. And you're supported, I suppose, here in Australia. She's called to Australia.
Yes.
Your family back further was from Australia.
Yes, that's correct.
And this is Billy Brim and Helen Ivisovich saying, please come back tomorrow because we're going to be telling more of Helen's story. You'll want to hear it right here at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And this is Billy Brim and Helen Ivisovich saying, Shalom, Shalom.
Shalom, Shalom.